The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Mystic cards in Return to the Circle Undone. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first Mystic card in the box is the Hierophant 5, Your True Master Awaits. It's a 3-cost asset that costs 3 experience points. Tarot card trait, you have 1 additional arcane slot. Your arcane slots can be used to hold cards that take up accessory slots and vice versa. And it has the same response as all of the tarot cards. If it's in your opening hand, put it into play. Takes up a tarot slot. This one, technically, it grants you at least 2 arcane slots, since you have 1 accessory slot already. And arcane slots have been a little bit tough to come by over the years. They seem to be... FFG seems to be loosening the purse strings a little bit of late and making it easier for Mystics to get access to additional arcane slots. This one's quite interesting to me. It's hard to... I can't think of an immediate way how this, what kind of deck comes out of this card, but the idea that you have 4 arcane slots or 4 accessory slots is opens up some interesting deck building options.
Yeah, it does. It's quite fascinating. Now you can like put Jewel of Aurelis, and you can put Holy Rosary, and you can stuff your Mystic deck with all those great accessories that they have access to, and just get enormous amounts of boost to your willpower that way, and then maybe play like 1 powerful spell. Like maybe if you're playing a catchy or something, you can play like 1 shriveling with like 5 or 6 charges on it, and you just keep it in play throughout the course of the game with your signature card, and you just have all these other accessories that you're running around with, like boosting your willpower up to like an 8 or a 9 or something ridiculous like that. That could be interesting. Again, like all the other tarot cards, this isn't unique, so that you can have multiples of them in play. If you have Anna Caslow in your deck, or you have another card to give you extra tarot slots, like the Moon Amulet, which we'll review in the neutral cards. But this card, I think, more than the other tarot cards, is difficult to evaluate because of just the sheer strange nature of it. I don't think we've seen a card like this.
No, we haven't. And a wealth of options to explore with this one, and perhaps there will be an accessory, that Mystic accessory deck that just goes all in on having a bunch of powerful accessories on the table. How would you rate this one? This one seems pretty good to me for pretty much every Mystic, while a lot of the tarot cards seem to have been focused on, you know, maybe 1 or 2 investigators. This one seems, if you're playing a Mystic, I don't think you could really go wrong picking this up.
I think I would definitely agree with that sentiment. Kind of similar to the 4 of Cups, I think in most Mystics, you would play that card because it's just a decent stat boost and a free slot that you wouldn't otherwise use. But this is much better than that, as it can give you either an extra accessory or an extra arcane slot, or, you know, any variation thereof. So this opens up a lot more deck building options. Like, not only just the slot itself, but you have to kind of consider everything else that you're going to build around it. So, yeah, really interesting card. I think I'd give it a +1. It's definitely one of the better tarot cards overall, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. I think +1 is, if I'm playing a Mystic, and I tend not to, I haven't really needed additional arcane slots. I tend to, you know, stick with the 2 that I've got, and then typically run 3 cards that need arcane slots and swap them out as necessary. But I'm not going to say no if I can have all my goodies on the table at the same time and don't have to worry about, about swapping, and then if I want to play extra accessories, I can do that as well. Lots and lots of options with this card. The second Mystic card in the box is Sign Magic level 3, 3-cost asset with a willpower and intellect skill icon, ritual and talent traits. It is fast. You have one additional arcane slot, which can only be used to hold a spell or ritual asset. As a response, after you activate the action triggered ability on a spell or ritual asset, exhaust Sign Magic, activate a action triggered ability on a different spell or ritual asset you control without paying its action ability cost. This one takes up a hand slot. I have I was not a huge fan of Sign Magic level 0, but this one, between the extra action that you're getting off of that response and the fact that you don't have to pay for it, definitely piqued my curiosity about this one.
Yeah, this one turns into a spell-slinging machine. My goodness, if you can combine Shriveling and Withering together, you can just deal massive amounts of damage. I think this is really good in Akachi, particularly because she gets all those extra charges, which makes her spells that much more useful. So having additional arcane slots just makes her ability that much better. And like you said, extra actions are always great, so...
And the fact that you're not paying for that extra action is huge. To be able
yeah,
to
that saves you on charges, right?
Stretches those charges out a little bit extra. You know, Akachi's already getting an extra charge, and then the fact that you can, say, if you have two copies of Shriveling on the table, you can stretch those out pretty far by triggering one and then removing a charge from one and then triggering the other later and just swapping back and forth between them which one you use, so you can dwindle those charges a lot slower.
And then if you have Twyla in play, oh my goodness. you're basically, those spells are infinite, and that's just ridiculous. So this card seems really good.
Couldn't have imagined that back in the core set when you had your limited, what is it, 4 charges on Shriveling. It's just like, God, I hope this spell hits because I've only got 3 more to go. So how would you rate this one? Like this one, it's almost like the and it's fast. I mean, the original was fast as well, which is amazing. The original was basically you got the additional arcane slot, which seems like the least interesting part of the upgrade by far.
Yeah, this card is awesome. I'm really curious to try this card out now. So. Extra actions is so hard to pass up, and like 3 experience, I'd like to pay 2, but I'm willing to pay 3 because I think in some off-class mystics, this card would be a little nuts. So, yeah, instant +1 for me. I don't know if it reaches Elder Sign ubiquity, just because I do think that there might be some mystics that may not make as much use of this. You know, I think like Diana Stanley might have a harder time getting use out of this because she tends to want to use things like Enchanted Blade in her arcane slots or...
And her signature asset.
Mm-hmm. So you're not getting as much use out of it in an investigator like Diana, but, Akachi, Father Mateo, you know, any of those like spell slinger battle mage types, this card's gonna be awesome for you.
Yeah, I think I'll give it a +1 as well. This one, of all the cards that were released in the box, this one is, I think, the biggest surprise to me because I was really not I can't remember what I said about Sign Magic when it was originally released, but I think I was high on it, and then every time I built a Mystic deck, it either ended up on the cutting room floor, or I'd put it in the deck, play it, and then just never end up playing Sign Magic because I just felt it was too expensive and I didn't need the additional arcane slot, and eventually ended up cutting it. And this one just came out of left field for me. It's just like, wow, what a second ability on this thing. That's going to do it for our look at the Mystic cards in Return to the Circle Undone. Mystics, I think, so far of the 4 classes that we've looked at, I think Mystics hands down have the best cards in the pack. What do you think, Nate?
Oh, I totally agree with you. These cards are great. Sign Magic is a huge slam dunk, and I'm really curious to see what deck builds come out of the Hierophant, because that's a really interesting card as well.
Yeah, it blows me away that, you know, back in the core set we had the tome that horrifically Book of Shadows was the only way to get an arcane slot, and you had to pay through the nose for it. And now it's just like, you want arcane slots? Well, here is a bunch of arcane slots that you can have. And I know there's even more coming in the upcoming Edge of the Earth expansion with the Dragon Pole. So the days of having to beg, borrow, or steal an arcane slot are long in the past. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.